Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey parents, it's good to have you back with us today as Michael Gurian and I chat with you about some of the important things that have to do with parenting, with being moms and dads of boys and girls. My name is Tim Wright. I'm your podcast host. And of course, as I mentioned, here with Dr. Michael Gurian. Michael, how are things up in Spokane today?
Well, they're very good. We have sun out, and we're taping this in the summer, and actually our summers are smoke-filled now. All of August, we're just covered in fire smoke, but wow. Not today. So the day we're taping today, we've had a reprieve. There's hundreds of fires up in British Columbia, and so the smoke comes down to us.
Yeah, it's tough stuff.
But it's a great day today.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to wrap up this mini-series that we've been doing. This is the fourth part of a mini-series that we've done on moms and dads and how moms and dads parent differently. And we've been focusing a little bit more on how dads parent because in culture today, mom's style of parenting tends to be held up as the gold standard. And what we want to suggest is that moms and dads both have a gold standard for parenting. And both are equally important, and both bring important things to the table. Michael, you talk about bi-strategic parenting. So just give us an update on what you mean by that.
Yeah, in Saving Our Sons, especially, I have a lot on this, and it's the concept that we have naturally, I think this comes in on the X and the Y chromosomes, actually, we have naturally parented differently, and it doesn't mean that there isn't great crossover between moms and dads. Of course there is, and great crossover between women and men. But at the same time, common sense tells us, everyone has observed, there are some differences in the way we parent. And I think they come in on the X and the Y. So, and I think they get kind of preset in utero when we're talking about how the male and the female brain get preset in utero based on those chromosome markers. So as male and female brain are different, so it would make sense that males and females would parent somewhat differently. And so bi-strategic parenting is to see the assets of both, figure out what they are, and respect and love the assets of both moms and dads, and they come together as two separate strategies, let's say, that overlap, and kids are well-raised to get the assets of both styles.
So one of the parenting styles that we're going to focus on today that can cause conflict in a home if moms and dads don't understand this is the concept of teasing. And, you know, men and women, boys and girls tease, but there's something strategic about a dad and a dad's style of parenting using teasing, not just for his son, but specifically for his son. So can you begin to introduce us to the concept of teasing and why that's a male-oriented or tends to be a male-oriented way of building relationships and bonding?
Yeah, well, there's a lot there to unpack. I mean, one thing is that we live in an era right now where I think the resilience building of teasing behavior is not well understood, because the era we're in now is anything you say, if you say it to me and I feel uncomfortable, it's toxic to me.
Right.
Right. I mean, we hear that. I hear people say this. Especially, I think. I think we're especially seeing it in a generation, the generation after us, our kids' generation and their kids' generation. And it kind of is, I think, social media, even some academics have pushed this idea that if I have any discomfort, you're toxic to me. So that's the era we live in. And it pushes against human nature. And I think ultimately it doesn't build resilience. What we want to do, and so a lot of this has to do with our goals as parents. I believe our goals as parents are to build loving, wise, and successful kids, so mature adults. And that means they have to have strength and they have to have resilience. So teasing behavior generally does three things when it's done well. Now, we want to say, of course, it can become abusive, and that's why we keep using the word teasing. We don't use the word abuse because we know there's a difference. But teasing behavior itself is looking to do a few things. One thing it's trying to do is point out flaw. So it's trying to point out flaw in a humorous way or in a direct way that's quick burst, you know, a quick tease about that. Like, your hair sure has gotten long. You know, so it's something I don't like that my child's hair has gotten really long. Okay, so I'm going to do a little teasing about that because I think my child will succeed better if they cut their hair. Okay, well, I may be wrong, right? But that's a teasing, you know, or come on, you're not throwing that ball very well, or whatever it is. I'm going to do these quick bursts, these little teasing about it. Then I'm going to back away, then do it again, back away, to see what the kid does. So one thing is, I think I see a weakness. I want to move that to strength. Another is, I'm teasing to get a reaction. So I'm trying to get the kid to react. And by reacting, to show emotion that I think is healthy for that kid, or to show wisdom, or to argue with me, or to debate with me, you know, which would show more strength and which would show independent thought. This is all to get the reaction, and getting the reaction is important. And then the third sort of thing we do when we tease is we bond, and teasing is a great way of bonding. And it's an unrealized way of bonding. There's an incredible amount of emotional data and stuff and self that flows through the limbic system, that flows between the top of the brain and the midbrain when that dopamine gets a hit off of the tease, you know, and I make fun of my child, my son or my daughter in a certain way, and then they laugh, and then we bond, and the dopamine releases. So when it's, you know, when it's done well, again, not abusive, but when it's done well, it can help strengthen the child, build resilience, bond. It has all those positives.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection. Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
And guys in particular use teasing amongst each other, and then dads with their sons and with their daughters as well, but with their sons, for those kinds of things. It's so important, I think, to understand the uniqueness of male bonding through teasing humor. And yeah. So, for example, you know, when you and I are together, and whenever I introduce you, it's always I always say New York Times best-selling author Michael Gurian, and so I'll give my perspective on why I use the teasing, and then you can give your perspective on what you hear from the teasing. Partly I do that because, quite honestly, I'm just jealous because you're a New York Times bestselling author. And part of it is because we're friends. And I cannot believe that little old me is friends with a guy who's written best-selling books. And so it's kind of a backhanded way, a male way of complimenting our relationship and the friendship that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I and of course, as I have said to you numerous times before, I'm much more humble than you give me credit for. I mean, I value my friendship with you, and I see you as amazing. So, but you're right. That's what happens. And And their guys will bond. Every time you do that with me, you know, we are bonding. We are getting closer and closer.
Right.
And people will think, no, come on, he's cutting you down. But you're not cutting me down. As you've just explained, there's all that content that you just described that goes back and forth. And you bond by humbling me. And you know, because we know you're being a little bit sarcastic. And we bond that way. And then we bond by me sensing, this is all unconscious, but me sensing that you respect me. And then I always respond, because we do this publicly when we're speaking together, you know, I'll respond by saying how amazing you are. And then we bond through that. And so you get the reaction. You tease me, you get a reaction back. And that reaction helps us bond and helps me to uplift you. And then you uplift me. And people, we do need to realize, and I think you're hinting at this, that males, testosterone is a hierarchy chemical. You know, that chemical, it's a competition chemical. And competition happens in hierarchies, and it's unconscious, subconscious, and maybe very conscious for us guys, that we're constantly moving up and down hierarchies, and that we value that. we live in that realm, you know, of valuing hierarchies and of wanting to climb higher and then being humbled, right? And falling down, needing to get back up. And all of the brain processing that goes on through that is really amazing and is part of what has constructed our civilization. So when we watch males and females tease, we find that there is a difference, like between, we're talking about moms and dads, there is a difference. And there will be exceptions to this, of course. As we've always said in our podcast, there's exceptions to everything we can say in like 2 minutes, you know, always will be exceptions. But we often find that dads are teasing hierarchically more. And what moms tend to do is they don't tend to tease as much to your face. They try to protect people's feelings, but they may call someone else and they may, what we call gossip, which is kind of a negative word, but which is they're talking to someone else. And now they're teasing this third party who's not there. So moms do tend to more directly protect feelings and talk to others, whereas dads more likely to do this kind of hierarchical, I'm going to cut you down and I expect you to cut me down. And that way you climb the pecking order and I'm giving you the chance by teasing you. I am giving you the chance to climb higher up in the pecking order. So it's actually a great gift that we give to others and to our children when we tease them appropriately, because we're giving them the opportunity to climb up the hierarchy, and we are humbling them, which is important, just as you're humbling me. But at the same time, it promotes me more. It tries to get me higher up in the hierarchy. And when we do it with kids, we're doing it with all these little things. Like I use the example of cutting the hair, you know, which is kind of an inane example. But if you keep teasing this kid, you're trying to get him to cut his hair so he'll succeed in society better, let's say. You are trying to get him to rise up in the hierarchy. And we are trying to be merit-based. And we are trying to, you know, say, hey, here's how you socialize better in the society if you do A, B, and C. And until you do A, B, and C, I'm going to tease you about it. And all of that is this subtle dance that I think we ought to respect more. And just because it creates discomfort, again, if it's abusive, it's a kind of verbal violence, and that we don't want. But if we're doing this kind of thing where what we're really targeting is resilience, competition, climbing hierarchies, self-respect, you know, if that's what's really being targeted through the teasing, it should be highly, highly valued. And we often have to ask moms who are not teasers themselves, we have to ask them to like, look at this asset. Don't prejudge it, you know, look at it as an asset. And then we also have to tell dads, hey, watch out, because the way the teasing behavior you're doing with child A may be working great, but the teasing you're doing with child B, child B's personality may not at this point have the resilience for it. So right. You may have to back off with child B and wait a year, you know, and that may be another topic for our discussion.
So your friend Warren Farrell has written a book called The Boy Crisis, and he spends several pages on the dad style of parenting using teasing. And I want to read just a couple quotes and let you comment on them, because I think he's saying what you're saying, but maybe just in a little different way. But one of the quotes that I really appreciated from him was this. It says, a dad teasing a child is like a doctor inoculating a child. The vaccine teases the child with a version of a real virus to help the child's immune system grow strong enough to fight off the virus and in the real world. And so basically what he's saying there about inoculating is what you're saying as well. It's building resiliency and how important that is in the lives of our children. Does that work the same with a boy as it does with a girl, or is the teasing relationship between dad and daughter a little different?
Well, yeah, that's very important. First of all, I think we are saying exactly the same thing. I think it's a wonderful metaphor that he has there. And yeah, that's part of our job as dads. And this isn't about quote unquote gender roles. This is about human nature. Part of our job as dads is to build the resilience by positioning the child in a mature universe in which the child has to act independently in the future. The child will have to succeed. The child will have to climb the hierarchies. You know, it's going to be very tough. And part of the dad's job is to build that resilience by this direct opposition and this pushing against. And then the child pushes against the dad. And that really, I think, is part of our job. So that is what we're doing. And moms, we want to remember, are building resilience equally. Moms and dads are both, it's both their jobs. Mom is doing it generally more via longer-term contact, less teasing behavior, less hierarchy development, less concern for hierarchy development and legacy, more concern for the emotions of the child and how the child is feeling and how the child processes those emotions, including traumas. You know, moms tend to be more directed internally with the child's emotional structure and helping the child to build that emotional structure through expression and through all of those, what we call verbal emotives. Dads are more quick burst in trying to push the resilience into the kid by the toughness and by showing the kid the toughness. And for girls and boys, there can be differences. Dads often make mistakes. They often make mistakes with both boys and girls. We want to say that first, depending on the sensitivity of the personality type of the child. So you can have a number of sensitive boys for whom this teasing falls flat and in fact doesn't create bonding and creates a lack of resilience, you know, because the child is so sort of beaten down by the teasing. So that can be a boy or a girl. We want to say that. Specifically with girls, the voice has to be a little different quite often with girls. The teasing behavior can work, but girls tend to react more to sound, to tone of voice. They'll sense that something is overly harsh when what the dad is really doing is just this teasing behavior, and he's trying to help form the self of the girl. But it sounds overly harsh to her, and she takes it personally. And girls do, on average, tend to take things more personally. They just have more emotive data moving through their minds. We've talked about that before. So I think their dads have to be especially careful with the more sensitive sons, and they have to be especially careful with the more sensitive daughters. And they have to titrate or adjust their teasing behavior to fit those two, because that's where the kids, you know, they grow up and they're 25 and 30, and they don't want to talk to their dad. They had so much of this, what they feel is harsh teasing, that they were not respected by their father. And that's not what we want from teasing. Teasing is supposed to be a behavior that shows respect in this humorous and this sort of tough, stronger way.
You and I have written some rites of passage programs, and when I'm taking the boys through at our church, one of those rites of passage programs, we do talk about this particular topic and how we as guys, we do our trash talk, we do our teasing, because that's the way we show respect for each other. That's the way we notice each other. And so I'll always, when I'm talking to the boys, I will always say that the way we tease each other as guys needs to be a little different than the way that we might tease girls, because they do internalize things differently. So I'll use the very simple example. I'll go up to one of the guys. I say, look, if I say to you today, that is the ugliest shirt I've ever seen, You're going to go home and you're going to say, you know what, Mom, you know what, Dad, Pastor Tim really loves me. He noticed my shirt today. But if you were to go up and say, that's the ugliest dress I've ever seen on a girl, you strike a blow to her self-esteem. So this dance of teasing can be rather difficult for boys and girls to manage, for moms and dads to manage. But it also then can create some tension because women don't, because they are more about the verbal emotives, they can see teasing as a real detriment to their sons or daughters, and that can cause conflict in the home and parenting style. So how do we help moms sort of navigate their own perspective on teasing that and to help them to see that in the end, when dad teases son or daughter, it's an act of love, not an act of bullying?
Well, that's it. They conscious conversations in families, always kind of measuring each other and seeing what each other is doing and understanding it better. And hopefully, for instance, this podcast will help a conversation happen between a mom and a dad, and an understanding and figuring out then adjusting. So for the mom, let's say in this scenario, who just sort of finds what the dad is doing offensive, what she may want to do is now measure it and measure where the line is and say, hey, you know, I thought that went over the line, but I understand now all this other stuff you're doing. I get it. Thank you for doing it. But I thought that went over the line. So now the conversation is an even more advanced conversation where it's not just a conflict between mom and dad where mom hates the way dad parents or something like that, but it's a fruitful conversation about, you know, that one I think went over the line. And did you see how, you know, your daughter or your son reacted to that one? And that one, you know, I think you might want to go in and have a conversation with your daughter or son and say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, that's a better conversation. And I think we all, like, I'll use myself and my daughters, and Gail, my wife, you know, Gail is not a teaser, you know, and I am a teaser and relatively typical. And initially, she, even as a therapist and even understanding all this science, she would be more reactive. You know, she'd be like, oh, don't say that. You know, that's not nice. It's not respectful. But gradually over the years, she sort of set the line. She would be the one who is outside of me and would say, you know, that worked there with Gabrielle, but that didn't work with Davida, you know, and then she would say, I think you have to go apologize to Davida. And that's, she was really a helpmate there because I do tend to be pretty guyish in the way, and my tone, I have a deep voice and my tone was considered harsh by my daughters when they were growing up at times, you know. And it was true that one of my daughters liked the teasing behavior and got it that I was respecting her. The other one took it more personally and I had to apologize more to her. And so I think the great role for moms there is to help the dad see what the good line is with each child, as opposed to just saying not liking teasing behavior.
So to summarize, because this is such an interesting topic, but to summarize, guys use teasing, dads use teasing to do a number of things. One is to express respect to the child. One is to build resiliency and to set the child up for success, in part by identifying some weaknesses so they can be turned to strengths. And dads use teasing as a way of saying, I really love you. And because I'm teasing you, that's a sign of my love for you. Is that a fairly good summary?
Oh, yeah. That's a great summary. And let me just pull one thing out of there, which is that we have to always remember that that our children have weaknesses, you know? I mean, they don't do some things well. They make mistakes. They are not developing parts of the self that we wish they could develop. And this point you just made, you know, the teasing behavior is an opportunity for the child to understand his or her weaknesses and to understand, you know, solutions, what to do next. And a lot of it is in that single sentence or those two sentences, or like your example of that's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen. The child feels all your love and all your respect there. And the child might go, huh, maybe I ought to dress better, you know? Hmm. So it's a gift all around, but we have to, I think we have to, as parents, sort of step out of our concept that our child should not have weaknesses or our child should not have flaws. Our children do have weaknesses. They do have flaws. And part of our job in from birth to 20 is get them to understand what those weaknesses and flaws are now so that they can work on them and, you know, strengthen themselves and strengthen their skills so that by the time they're 20, they're adults, you know, they're strong, independent adults or whenever it happens for them. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
So we all have to admit if we're gonna like teasing behavior again, let's say we're gonna have to admit that our kids are flawed.
Got it. Well, you've been listening to The Wonder of Parenting, and we have a website, wonderofparenting.com, wonderofparenting.com. There's a little bit of information about Michael on there, a little bit of information about me on there. There's a place on there for you to send us questions that you'd like us to deal with on this podcast. And there's also a way for you to hit the link so that you can subscribe to this podcast, or you can go to the Apple store. You can go to Google and subscribe to this podcast. And we hope that you will do that. Let your friends know about it. I think one final word, Michael, that for me summarizes this, and this is sort of my public service. The reason why I tease Seahawk fans so incessantly is I want to point out their flaws and weaknesses so they'll come over to the truth and the light of the Arizona Cardinals or any other team than the Seattle Seahawks. So that's what teasing is for, right?
Perfect. Yes, yep. That's a great ending. And by the way, our Seahawks are not very good this year, so you're absolutely right. Thanks,
well,
Tim.
You bet. So on behalf of Dr. Michael Gurian, my name is Tim Wright, and we look forward to spending some more time with you, deep diving into really good stuff when it comes to parenting. We hope that you have a great day, and we hope that you're using this information to help your homes thrive.